Hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. So tonight I have my good friend Don back here with me again. We're going to be talking about The Last of Us, Day 1, Episode 4. I'm excited to have him back on the show to talk about this episode. So let's go ahead. Let's talk about The Last of Us, Episode 4. And hey, Don. Welcome back.
How are we doing?
Doing good? I'm doing good. How you doing?
Hey, now.
I'm doing all right, man. It's good to talk. Good to be back over here talking about Last of Us. But before I do that, we have to get into the sponsorship from the WWE store itself.
Do it.
All right. So guys, use promo code WWE29 for all your merch needs for the WWE and post-apocalyptic world that we have here. So are you tired? Hey, Don, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Are you tired of slow walkers and clickers messing up your road trip?
Definitely tired of slow walkers. I hate slow walkers.
Me too. I hate slow walkers, especially on Walmart, right?
Yeah, no way.
And even clickers for that matter too. But then it's time to tag in the only tag team that matters. Joel Stone Cold Miller and Ellie, the R-rated snark machine Williams. This week's episode is brought to you by WWE's nearest pay-per-view event, The Last of the Slam, where every infected gets a steel chair to the face and every raider catches a suplex through a fungus-covered table. Oh my God, that mushroom's got a family. So grab your flannel, load your backpack, tune in as we break down the moment, every moment of the episode with more drama than a contract singing on Monday Night Raw. Because in this post-apocalyptic world, if you smell what Fedra is cooking.
We're getting into it now, huh?
Yes, we are. We're getting into this nitty-gritty of The Last of Us, dude. So, I love Jeffrey. Here's the thing. I almost said Jeffrey Isaac. I love Jeffrey Wright as an actor. he just embodies the certain character whenever he has it. The whole screen pretty much is just taken over by his presence. I liked him in Boardwalk Empire. I also liked him in Westworld. Not only did I like him in Westworld, man, but I also liked him in the Batman as well. So he's just a great, phenomenal actor. And seeing him be this character who's with Fedra, who's against everything that Fedra is doing, and then they're also, and these other guys are being douchebags. Talking about people that are elected and how they're basically taking out the elected. And he sees this one guy goes, well, why do you call them that? Because that's what they are. They're just laughing their asses off about it.
Yeah, so, the voters.
Okay. I thought it said electors, I thought that's what they called it. The voters.
Something like that. Yeah. It was something like that. Basically they were allowed to vote before and then they got their rights taken away from them and now they do it as a mock basically.
Exactly. And that's something that I really liked with Isaac was like, okay, we're doing something wrong here. We're taking away their rights. Mm-hmm. So we're supposed to be standing for something good and we're no longer standing for anything good anymore. So he takes this other kid, and he was about to meet this other girl and try to make a peace treaty with her. And then Isaac winds up throwing a grenade inside the convoy, causing the thing to explode. And now he's actually on the Scars team. Mm-hmm. But what do you think about it?
Okay. I have thoughts. So, first of all, he plays the character in the game. So I love that they brought him back for this character. That's awesome. Again, what you said, I completely echo about him. He's a great actor. He's really great in this part, and he's good as the live action version too. Here's my issue. The rest of this freaking episode makes no sense with this opening. They should have saved this opening for the next episode. This is so bad because they introduce a very important character to this story and then ignore him for the rest of the episode. Like, if you're going to introduce him, then let me see him. And, like, we did. Then we just went into the story that we get to later, and it's just like, as much as I love this opening, it was the worst opening for the episode, I think, personally.
Now that you mentioned it, I do feel like that this should have been like an Abby episode with her origin story and how she got to this point with him.
Yeah.
Because that's where The Walking Dead, I feel like, does the best job whenever they're setting up the villains is to humanize the villain. Mm-hmm. And I think that they could have done a better job at setting up Jeffrey Wright's character, by doing it that way, have it in the next episode where you have it to where you have that origin story and you have where Abby meets up with Isaac. Now she became the way she is.
Yeah.
And that actually makes more sense.
And yeah, again, it's not that I didn't like it. I really liked the scene, and it makes a lot of sense to who he is. It's not that at all. It's just, right. I feel like with the rest of the episode, it was just kind of like, well, we need some kind of action scene, and a big reveal would be cool too, because the rest of this episode kind of, for me, flounders out in the, by the
it kind of farts in the wind.
It really does. Like, it really does at the end. And again, it's not that I'm not interested in the story they're telling. It's just, I feel like they waste so much time on it.
I do too. Like, I was even telling my wife today, I was like, you know what? I really didn't like this episode, and it had nothing to do with Ellie and Dina or anything. No. It's just the pacing and the editing choices that they made within the episode itself. Yeah. Like you mentioned, I love seeing Jeffrey Wright, but at the same time though, you know, it's like very choppy at the very beginning of it where you get to see the introduction to his character, and then it goes into, Dina and Ellie, when really this should have been a Dina and Ellie focused part of it, because this is a big, huge thing that happens. You know what I mean? And I think that I love whenever they go into the drugstore, mm-hmm. and Dina is over there looking for something. We don't know what it is. And I told my wife, I said, she's pregnant.
Yep.
That's the first thing I think of.
Yeah.
Well, and this is so stupid.
She wasn't scared, so you know it's not like a clicker or something. You know what I mean? It's not something that you have to really worry, or at least you think you don't have to worry about, because she's not scared. She's just kind of, you know, wandering into an area, and you're like, yeah, there's something to that. I know that.
I just don't like the choice that they made. They're like, okay, we're going to shy away from the camera. She's touching something. We don't know what it is. And come on, it's a pregnancy test.
Yeah. 100%.
I mean, I just think that the choices that they made within this episode to make something shocking when it's not so shocking.
Yeah. The other thing I noticed is this wasn't directed by Tony Gilroy. This was written by somebody else, Gilroy. I guess it's his brother or maybe his son. So I'm wondering if maybe not directed, but written by. I don't remember now, because when I looked at the credits, Tony Gilroy wasn't the main writer on this episode, or he wasn't the main.
Right. I'm trying to look and see who it is, because now you're making me wonder.
It was in the credits. That's why I noticed it. I think somebody else directed it, but there was a different Gilroy name that came up for the writer, I think it was, for this episode. And I'm wondering if maybe that has something. And again, I'm not trying to blame the person for, you know, doing I'm not, you know, saying they did a bad job. I'm just wondering if maybe the way they write is just a little different than Tony. You know what I mean?
And it's,
you
know, so every director has a certain way of how they want to tell a story and what the character should be doing.
The director interpreting those words also is going to play a big part in it. So yeah, again, I don't even want to say this was a bad episode. It just, for me, it kind of fell off, and it kind of like slowed the story down, where I felt like we were at a good pace at up to this point, kind of, you know, so right. I don't know. Maybe that's more what it was. It was just the pacing of it.
Okay, so Kate Herron is the director for this one, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, I think I was wrong about saying director. Yeah, it wasn't the director. I was wrong about that. Sorry.
And Craig Mazin is actually the writer for this one, what I'm gathering.
Are there two Gilroy names, though, somewhere? Because I saw another Gilroy.
Directed by Craig Mazin. Was the first episode. Mark Malloyd was the one for the second episode.
Yeah.
Then after that, Peter Hoare, H-O-A-R, not, you know. And then Katie Herron. But, you know, I feel like you do, though, to be honest with you. I just feel like there was just something offbeat with it and stuff, because I think it should have been, like I said, it should have been an Ellie and Dina centered story, and instead it's not. And then you have that whole entire shot, trying to do that whole entire shocking thing of the fact that Dina's pregnant by not showing us that she's grabbing a pregnancy test. And she said that she has to pee. So put two and two together. It would have been more threatening if there was like a bunch of clickers or runners in there.
Sure. No, 100%.
But instead, it's just her getting a pregnancy test. It's like a side quest And then we get to another side quest, which is Ellie playing the guitar.
Which I didn't mind that because that is from the, I do right. know that is from the game. So I like that. I just think they could have cut that down a little bit, not had her sing the whole song. Maybe just, I don't know. Yeah. I did think like that
what went works a in a video game involved. May not work yeah. well to screen.
Sure.
Because yeah, I do agree that the song was too long. I think maybe about a minute should have been perfect.
Yeah.
And I get what they're trying to do though. They're trying to show that Ellie is actually healing.
Sure.
So I think it's just her missing Joel and she's playing this song and the only person in her life is Dina. And so, you know, I think that's what, and also too, her love for music. I love the fact that it's in a music store and it's actually Joel is with her within the store itself.
Sure.
Spiritually. And then she's playing the song and it's actually about healing and stuff. So I liked having it there, but at the same time, it's just lasted way too long. It's like seeing an opening band that you don't want to like that plays for way too long.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah.
But then we cut into the whole entire thing with Isaac talking about stainless, with the pans and stuff. And at first I thought he was just talking to us as breaking the third wall, making us care about the fact that he was infatuated with these copper right. pans.
Yeah. It did make it seem like that for sure. Yeah. I will agree.
But instead it made us look like that we're actually being tortured just as the other guy is being tortured laying on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I know it just, I don't know. I just feel like this was so just kind of thrown in there instead of, I don't know. It just felt weird for me. And again, I love this character, so I don't know why I feel that way. I really can't even pinpoint what it is, but I just don't feel like it fit the episode. I thought it was
choppy.
Yeah.
I feel like that you should have put that scene into the scene that you have for the opening and show us where he's at now.
Maybe.
Remember, Joel did that. Remember when the first season of whenever Joel is happy, he's got his daughter. His daughter is. Then after that, when Fedra winds up killing his daughter, then it goes into the present day where he's just jaded. He's dark. He doesn't care about anything.
Yeah,
that's what they should have done up to that point is show us that turning point of like what happened. You go from this guy being. I don't like what Fedra is doing to being this guy right here who's killing Scars because they're killing your people and stuff. And that treaty that they made with each other is now broken. So yeah. I wanted to see a turning point somewhere. I know we're going to get it, but I wish that they would have done it in this one because it feels too choppy for me.
Sure.
To be invested into what he's doing.
Yeah. I think you might be right. Yeah. It didn't fit for me. And again, I was waiting for this, but yeah, it kind of fell flat for me, which sucks because I really like him and I even like him in the show. I don't think he's bad.
No, he's a great actor.
Yeah, no, he's great. He's amazing.
Like I mentioned before, I love him as an actor. I think he's like Coleman Domingo for me. Whenever he has a scene, he just overshadows whatever scene he has and his presence is there. Sure. And that's exactly how I feel about Jeffrey Wright. And then we get into, you know, Ellie and them going into the underground train area and stuff.
Yeah, shit is well. Fan, which I'm actually surprised. And again, this might be just for show purposes. I think of it this way, but I'm actually surprised she doesn't know her secret.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, don't forget, she promised Joel that she wouldn't say anything.
Sure. And I understand that, but I would think of all people, she would probably be the one that she would tell of anybody. I don't know. And again, this isn't, you know, something that made me upset or anything. I was just surprised that she didn't know it, I guess. Yeah.
Right. But also too, Christian Harloff also had an issue with this episode as well.
Okay.
And it was the whole point was, it wasn't the whole entire thing about her being bitten.
Yeah.
And everything. It was the whole issue of, okay, she wakes up. It's been a couple of hours since she got bit. She told that she gave the reveal. And then it's only been a couple of hours since she woke up. He was just guesstimating at the point that it was like 8 hours. And Roxy had like basically said, how do you know how long it's been? He goes, I don't know. I'm just guessing on how long it is, actually is.
Yeah, I don't think so. Only because she wakes up, they do their thing, then they wake up again and it's morning.
Right.
So I think she went to sleep for like a couple hours, like, you know, 3-4 hours maybe, woke up. They had their conversation, you know, whatever happened, and then they woke up again in the morning, you know, kind of thing. So
that's how I feel, though, too, because it's the next morning. It's not like just a couple right. of hours.
I don't think 2 days passed. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it was the next day. Do you know what right. I mean? So, yeah, I don't know.
But I think it was the next day because of the fact Ellie said, look, if I am one of those things out there, shoot right. me right now. Or right. wait, let me sit over here. And you can shoot me if I turn.
Yeah. I mean, unless she did get a full 8 and they just went at it all day long and woke up again the next day.
Right. Like,
at some point. Like, I don't know. I mean, possible, but.
But this is what Christian said too. He's like, it's like all of a sudden it's like, okay.
Offer valid on standard browsers, US only.
When I heard about Date My Age, I thought, really? But there I was in my empty, quiet house, my laptop on the kitchen counter, and I typed in my name. Looking for a man between the ages of 40 to 60? Sure, why not?
Date My Age is different. With verified profiles, you can feel safe and secure to explore meaningful connections with interesting and mature singles.
Date My Age made it really easy. I could join and view online profiles for free. All of a sudden, my empty house wasn't so quiet anymore. I got so much attention, it just made me feel seen and alive. Date My Age helped me start a totally new chapter in my life.
Find a friend, a lover, a partner at Date My Age. Get 60% off when you join at datemyage.com today. That's datemyage.com to connect with thousands of singles worldwide. datemyage.com.
I believe you. You're not a zombie. All right. Well, let's make out.
Yeah.
No, I'm not your type.
These are things that they can change for the show that I feel like they don't. Sorry. Yeah.
Nah, I'm joking.
These are things that they can change for me, at least, that I wouldn't be upset about. Do you know what I mean? Like, they can right. change. And I know they did change some things in here, but sorry.
No, it's okay.
I feel like that's something they could have changed where it was more, God, Leia, I'm going to kick you in the head. Animal cruelty is on the table now. No, but seriously, like, I don't know. I feel like it's something they could have, one, cut down. And I know they cut, but I feel like they could have cut it down a lot more than that. But her reaction, I feel like, one, she would have just shot her, right? I mean.
I think because of the fact, number one, she loves Ellie.
Right. Yes.
And she doesn't know what to do right now. She's the only person that she can count on, because think of it like this, man. And I didn't think about this until Roxy broke it down like this.
Okay.
And she's a woman. She's scared. Her emotions are all over the place. And sure. She's not thinking clearly. And also too, if she shoots her, she's going to be alone and pregnant in Seattle. Then guess what? The wolves wind up coming and getting her. She's now kidnapped. And you know, as soon as Abby knows who she is, because she knocked her out, Abby would wind up killing her.
Yeah.
So
I get the logic in that for sure. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. It just feels like the way I guess I'm just thinking of that one moment on the wall where after everything settled down and that dude just walked up and shot that other guy. And it's not that he didn't give a shit about him. It's not that he didn't, you know, right. love that guy probably. It's just, that's what we do in this world now. Like, that's where I kind of come from it as. Like, in The Walking Dead, there's no hesitation. Like, you get bit, that's it. Like, I'm that's sorry. It.
There's no turning back.
Right. And it's not about whether I care about you or not. It's just, I can't take that chance. Like, I'm not dying.
Right.
Like, I don't know.
Also, too.
But I do get that logic for sure. Yeah. Stranded in that world, yeah, that I can understand. The hesitation.
And there. This is also a revenge plot too, don't forget. So, you know, it's like, okay, well fuck, what do I do? Because even Ellie's like, well shit, do I just go on ahead? Do I stay? What do I do? because look, we don't have to go and do this. She goes, no, we need to do this. So it's like, well, what about the revenge plot now? What do we do with that? What do we do with that?
Yeah.
No, it's and now it all becomes about Ellie and Dina. And then, Christian was also talking about the fact that, you know, they wound up making out and, you know, and I think it's just the fact that Dina's emotions are all over the place to the point that she's not thinking clearly or anything either. And she's making out with her. Ellie winds up doing what she does to Dina. I'm not going to go into it. But then I like how they're laying down after everything. And she says, so that's why you have your tattoos is because you've gotten bitten all those times. She said, yeah. But she also held back a little bit though too. She didn't tell her that she was the cure for all this either.
No, she didn't tell her that. I mean, I guess she could at least assume that she's immune somehow, but yeah, she doesn't know. I wouldn't think she would know she's the cure. No.
And she also doesn't know the things that Joel did to save her to get her out of Fedra either.
Yeah.
Or not Fedra, but the other place. I forgot the actual name of the people that were trying to cure her. But, you know, I just think that this episode was a little rough and a little rushed at the same time.
It was. Here's my other issue, and I don't know if this is an issue I should even address, but I do feel like it's poorly written in this episode. I understand she starts telling the story about how she talked to her mom about how she liked boys and girls and, you know, all that part. But she's been in this community for a while now. And this community doesn't seem like the discrimination type, if you know. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I don't understand why she wouldn't feel more comfortable in this.
Well, don't forget, we had Seth that turned over, that changed in the last part of it. So you did have someone within that community that was against it.
Yeah, no, that's shoot. Yeah, you're right. I forgot about that moment. Okay, damn it. Okay. I was just thinking, like, I was like, I can understand her reasoning for it in the beginning, but then once she became a part of this community, but you're right. No, there are still people out there that are just people.
Yeah, right.
No, that's fair. I was just stretching on that one.
No, you're fine.
It just didn't feel like it was, you know what I mean? Like, it kind of felt more like they were taking power away from her than making her, because she's not really a weak character. Dina's a strong character in the end of it. So, yeah, I don't know. Okay. I was just reading into it, I think, too much.
Yeah, because the way I see it is because of the fact that, yeah, she's been in there for a long time, but she also knows the people. She also knows how they think.
Yeah.
Ellie's been in it, sure. But, you know, but here's the thing though, if you are part of this community for X amount of years, you also know who to trust, who not to trust, stuff like that. And Seth was like a long way from trusting. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I think you answered the question because I completely forgot about that. Even though he did help him in the end, I did forget about it. But what?
Yeah. Started. The transformation of Seth was really good.
Yeah, no, I like it.
I like that.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Look,
if you learn from your mistakes, that's good. There's nothing wrong with that.
No. And here's another thing too. I like the action sequence within the train itself and that train state. That was something. Seeing all those runners coming over there and then you also have the clickers too.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this show does action very well. Very well.
And I like that. There was that danger element, and then of course Ellie winds up splitting one of the runners or one of the zombies basically bite her arm.
That's
how she finds out that she's actually immune. But, you know, and then the next morning it's like, okay, well, where do we go from here?
Yeah. Yeah. Which I do like this moment with them. I do think it's a good moment with them. You know, her kind of immediately going in and just being, well, I guess the moment for me is when they wake up and she's like, why now? And she gives her the whole, you know, the whole speech, which I like that part a lot. I guess for me, I like their chemistry because I like the way that she, you know, the joke that she tells with, you know, what does she say? oh, I tried to hide it. And she's like, you didn't at all. Like, that was a good moment right. with them. Like, those moments, I think, help and work really well for their relationship. So I do like that.
But I do like the chemistry between them, too. Jesse?
What the hell is she going to tell him?
Right? And also, too, now she thinks that she's going to be a dad. And here's Jesse like, well, what about
dude,
me?
That's the other, yeah, oh, my God, yes. Thank you for saying that. What the hell was that conversation? That whole, I'm going to be a dad, but he's going to be like, you're not a dad. I don't mean that in a disrespectful. I'm just being like, you're not the dad.
Because though. Now like, she feels like that Dina is actually, they're in a relationship.
Yes. I know where she was going with it. And it's a funny moment. I didn't right. mind it.
It's just her being ecstatic because of the fact her friend's pregnant. And so yeah. I think it's the fact too, like I said, mentioned with Dina was like, as a woman, she's not thinking clearly, but as her best friend who's trying to be there for her.
Yeah.
As well, she's ecstatic to the point too, where she's not thinking clearly either. And on some ends as well, like, oh, I'm going to be a dad. And so, you know, she's just giddy over the fact that her friend is going to have a baby.
Yeah. Oh, no. And
that's what I'm getting
an issue
at.
With it. It was just a weird, funny conversation.
Right. It was.
It was just funny. I liked it. So, but I do think, Jesse's going to be cool. Like, I think Jesse's going to be cool with it. I really do. Because even with the kiss thing, like, he was like, oh, I hate you. And he was like, I don't care. Like, whatever, dude. Like, come
on. But at the end of the day, they all have to get along anyways because of this community. Yeah. So it's like, what the hell do I do?
Right. And I just don't feel like he's going to wind up being you know what I mean? Like, he just doesn't seem like that type of person. Like, he seems like he can just be like, look, I get it. It sucks, but I get it. Kind of thing.
So he goes back to being in the friend zone even though he has a kid.
Yeah, I think he knew too. I think he probably knew. He's right. He's probably going to make that joke. Like, yeah, you didn't hide it well either. So I don't know why you're
like worried. Exactly. Because it's kind of like with Freddie Mercury, for example, where he's trying to fit into society. So in order to fit in, he has to try to do what society wants him to do, which is basically have kids, be married to a woman and stuff like that. So that's basically what Dina's trying to do is try to fit into society in the way society thinks and the way the world thinks.
Sure.
Instead of just being her own self. And therefore she sleeps with Jesse. Jesse winds up having a kid. So yeah. But I do.
I just find it funny. I just find it really funny.
It was a funny moment. And also too, and then, you know, I thought that the episode was okay. It could have been better. There's not much that really happened within the episode itself.
Yeah, once everything kind of slowed down, it really slows down.
And I don't really have much to add to this as well.
And even the big reveal at the end just didn't get me involved in it as well. Do you know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, the big reveal of it.
Yeah, them going up on the roof and seeing the bombings and the fighting, and I'm just like, just why aren't you just walking? Why aren't you walking? Why aren't you doing something? Why are you still place at this point?
This is the way I looked at it, though, too, was like when they see the bombing of that and they're looking at the map, it's kind of like us playing the video game, right?
It is. It is.
And it's like, where the hell is Abby at?
Doing that. Yes.
Right. It's like, well, where the hell is Abby being hiding out at? And you're like, oh, there's that building way over there. And that's where we have to go to. And we're all the way over here.
You know, I'm also worried too but I'm wondering if maybe. So the general consensus is the first Last of Us is one of the best games ever made. The second one is not that good or not as good.
No, I remember all the controversy around the second one. I didn't even play the second one.
So I'm wondering if maybe this story is kind of falling because they're holding on. I don't know. It's just one of those things where you just kind of can't put your finger on what is wrong, but there's something wrong. Do you know what I mean?
Right. I think the biggest problem with this, though, is the fact, I get the fact that they're trying to do the lore of what the video game is and does with Joel dying. But the big presence is Pedro Pascal as Joel.
It is. It is.
And he's missing. And he's a big key person in The Last of Us.
Sure.
And I think that's what it is. What may work for a video game may not work for a live action adaptation of a TV series. Because if you have someone that's a major role and that person winds up dying. Mm-hmm. You can feel that presence of it being where it's not what it used to be. And even whenever you have the Walking Dead, for example, with Andrew Lincoln, when he left and stuff, there was a presence that was missing with him because he was the main star from season one all the way up until the point where he leaves in the chopper.
Yeah. Oh, man. I really like this show, though, overall. That's the thing that sucks is I really do like this show, and I think it's got a future. I just think they got to tighten the story up and really land this second season. The second season's got to – or maybe they're not planning on doing it. I don't know. Maybe they're not planning on doing it.
I thought they renewed it for a third season, though.
Oh, did they? Okay. So, okay. Because, I mean, this is a show they could spin off of and do their own thing now because there's another one coming out or in development, so –
Right, and here's the thing. I don't want this to be like another spinoffs of Walking Dead and stuff.
No.
I think, you know what I'm saying? I want this to be its own thing without any spinoffs.
Yeah, I kind of want to see how this community works. Like, I kind of want to see, maybe if they did like where you see them in Seattle, like kind of back and forth between the two communities or near the two areas. I don't know. Yeah.
But right now, it's just Ellie and Dina, and that's it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even look like the community is even going to be helping him at all.
No, I don't know how I don't know where you go with the third season because, woo, when this ends, if it ends the way the game ends, woo, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's not like the world ends, but I mean, there's some stuff. There's some stuff, so.
I gotcha.
We'll see.
All right, well. That's everything that I had wanted to cover as far as this episode goes. I know that this is a little bit of a shorter episode than we normally do, but there was not a lot that happened. We liked some stuff. There were some editing choices and some other choices that they did that I didn't really feel like fit into what they should have done at the very beginning, especially with Isaac's character. And, you know, you and I already covered that. But guys, go ahead, smash that like button, smash the subscribe button. If you like this show, comment below. Tell us what your favorite moments were within this show itself. Just because we didn't like this episode doesn't mean that you shouldn't like
it. Tell us
why
we're wrong. Shoot, tell us why we're wrong.
So we could
all tell us why we're idiots. What the hell we're talking about.
Exactly. But originally tomorrow night I was supposed to have Tamika doing a review for Superman 3. We're pushing that back to Monday. I am going to be recording The Long Walk, so that's also another trailer reaction that I'm going to be putting out for tomorrow. That's based off of a Stephen King novel, so I'm going to be doing that. Okay. So, Don, thank you again, man. I do appreciate you doing this review with me. Thank you guys for watching, downloading everything on audio podcast as well. And also, too, guys, Spotify. Comment on Spotify as well, and I'll geek out with you. I'll talk to you guys also, too. You can also email me at moodlovesunite@gmail.com. And, yeah, that's going to be it as far as tonight goes, but always until next time, guys. Bye-bye. See ya.